Trinity, verse 166. I'll conclude this verse today. Alinde kalindi tatanava lata madira gate ratam or bhuta shramajala bara porna vapusha sukha sparshena amilita nayano shitalamatulam kada kuryam savijanam ahaha radha moravido. Translation. Of course, most of all the verses of Radharasa Sudaniti, there's two things going on. One is the experience, the direct experience of Radha and Krishna's Leela, and entering there and rendering various sevas, and his siddhasrupa as a mandri, or his least identifying with that position of a mandri, Saraswati Pad. But after having that experience, like all of us, we may have an experience, and then afterwards we may record it or write it in a diary. If it's something marvelous or majestic or divine or amazing. Like I have one diary I've been keeping for some time. It's called Sadhu Diary. Whenever some interesting person appears here out of nowhere or anywhere where I may be and gives me some instruction or some help, then I take note of that. It often happens when you live in Holy Dham, people come to visit you and you'll meet them and out of nowhere, and it almost seems like it must be Krishna or a guru coming in this form to uplift you and promote you on the path of pure bhakti. Very amazing place, Vrindavan. So here in we're discussing the basically the verses. He's entered into his siddha identity, siddha avesh, and he's entered the Leela of Radha and Krishna. This is repeating. And he's fanning them. Radha and Krishna have concluded their intimate amorous affairs. And they want some fresh air. So they come out to the terrace of their, what is called, Navalata Mandir. Very, very beautiful mandir, not like the mandirs we go to, but made of latas and creepers and Madhavi Lata is very fragrant, very gentle, very attractive, colorful, natural. Forest life, Ban Bihari. Krishna is known as Ban Bihari. He plays, he enjoys in the van, the forest. And who wouldn't? Every sattvic man or lady very much enjoys forest and nature. It goes hand in hand with a svabhavik interest in sattvic gund. So they're out on the veranda, what is called Alinde Kalindi. This is Sanskrit. He makes it very nice. Alinde Kalindi. Alindi Kalindi Tata. Tata, everyone knows. On the banks of the Kalindi, on the terrace of what? We say veranda. Or this is a veranda. It's not exactly a lata mandir, Navalata mandir. But they're on the terrace and they've been perspiring and they're quite... They want to be refreshed. And the mandri is right there at the right moment, at the right time, rendering exactly the right service in just the right way. There's a lot of right things here. Time, place, seva. Because seva, one thing that seva she's rendering is, as we hear here, is samvijanam. Kara kuryam savijanam ahaha rara muravido. He's saying that I have seen this in my spurti, in my deep inner vision, as a byproduct of my accomplishment on the bhakti marg. I've attained the platform of bhav and prem. And therefore, Yoga Maya and Purnamasi and Gurudev and Guru Sakhi and Radha, they've allowed me to enter the Leela. It's technically called Leela Pravesh, enter Pravesh, the Leela, and do my seva. Either your nitya seva given by guru or various agya, various orders and instructions given by other well-wishers in your sakigan, or the leader and chief of all the mandris, Sri Rupa Mandri, or Lita Sakhi, regardless of your own yateshri. So now he's saying, kada kuryam, when will I do that? Kada kuryam, when will I do that? What this seva, and this particular seva of fanning, and where will I do it? And when will I do it? Well, I'll do it here on the banks of the Yamuna at this Navalata Kunja, this very fragrant and freshly blooming place, and it's a very needful and necessary seva. When someone is fatigued and perspiring and they want fresh air and nice breeze. So then, of course, there's so many other implications in rendering any particular service. It's not only the seva that you're rendering and the expertise which you're doing it, which comes with practice and with mercy. Like everybody fans the deities, or everyone fans, but some people do it very artistically. If you ever watched pujaris around the world, some are very mechanical and robotic, like this, like do 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 do, like a machine. And some are very stylish. And I remember one pujari in Krishna Balaram in 1981 or so, some French devotee. When he would fan, have his left foot would be on the mat, and then his right foot would be back a little bit on an angle, almost like Trivanga. And whenever he would fan, he would rise up on his right foot. Somehow his whole body was in a style. He would rise up and his left foot would stay flat, and his right foot was like this position. Then this would go up. Then he was so like, it's all in the wrist, like tennis. It's all in the wrist or whatever, forearm. Very attractive. I remember going, usually when you go to Mangalarti, you want to see Thakurji in Radha Shyam Sundar. How beautiful, how attractive, sweet, merciful. But he was a third deity on the altar. There was Radha Shyam. Because there, I mean, at least to me, I'm not very, I'm kind of dull. I don't see Radha Shyam moving and dancing and singing and speaking when I see them. I just see them standing there so beautifully. But he was three-dimensional and moving and quite attractive, beautiful dhoti, and folded in such a way, and very, very French and very stylish and very attractive. So it's like one eye's on him and then that. Because I also do pujari work, and I thought, I just will never make it. This is lifetimes of practice. So it's the way you do it. How do you render your service? The physical expertise. That's why there's terms used in Radharasudaniti by Saraswati Pad. Uses suparicharini. Paricharini means dasi, kinkari, manjari, maidservant of Radharani. Suparicharini means good. In other places he says chatur anucharini, or chatur kinkari means very expert, very clever. She very cleverly serves. So these adjectives are there to preface the action of seva. It's done expertly. And then sometimes he says, rasa kinkari, I'll serve you, seva rasa kinkari. He said, I will be your manjari, your maidservant, and I'll serve you with lots of ras, lots of feeling, and genuine feeling and devotion. And of course, what ras, ultimately it's the ras of her stahirati, which is reflected from Radha as madhur rati. And it's feeding and offering madhur to madhur. Radha and Krishna coming together, they generate the greatest sweetness, relished by each other, but then the manjaris throw their madhur ras into the picture and then churn it all up together and make it even sweeter. So that's called rasa, rase paricharani. At the manjari sevite, she serves in such a sweet, loving, madhur way with her own independent, individual feelings of madhur ras, or conjugal love for Krishna, which every manjari has. But of course, her additional affections for Radharani. But then she's drawing from the unlimited reservoir of Radharani's rasa-filled heart. The Mahabhav Sindhu of Radharani is also splashing in the hearts of her manjaris. Because the manjaris are bhav taratmika with Radha. My bhav is your bhav. So this is, it's not only I'm one in mind with you, and one in body with you, and one in place with you, and one in time with you. I'm in time. I'm right in time with you. Like syncopated dancing. Indian lady dancers are famous around the world. as being the most expert in syncopated dancing, probably because they were all Gandharvas in last life or something. But when they have 8 or 10 ladies, there's one song being played. It could be anything, whatever, music score or Bharatanatyam or whatever. If 8 or 10 are dancing, it almost looks like a yogi expanding himself into 8 forms. Everyone's hand movements are exactly in the place, all 8 in a line. And everywhere around the world, there's famous dancers, but this particular type is called syncopated dancing. Group dancing, they're extremely coordinated. So what I'm using that analogy is to show that the Manjari, she's moving exactly with the movements of Radharani, not an inch ahead or an inch behind, right on time, like a reflection. So that's the total submersion, of the Manjari's entire being in Radharani, and that's what it takes. And the closest example of absorbing oneself in another's heart and life and feelings and need is the example of a mother with her child, with her newborn child. She's totally the genuine mother with Vatsalya, which is mostly like that. She's submerged into the baby, his feelings, his thinking, and he's speaking unintelligible words that no any outsider can understand what it means. God knows. And the mother knows exactly, well, this means that, and this means, I say, what are they saying? What is this language? So what is the language? It's the language of the heart. Because the mother's heart is fully identifying with her byproduct, known as her child. And she can feel what he feels and know what he knows, know what he needs, and be right there. So this is something of a distant reflection of the type of absorption that a mother has in her child, that a Manjari has in Radharani. And she only has a respite from her seva, her daily seva. The Manjari's respite is 2 hours, 2.5 hours. You read about the life, the charitra of our Das Goswamipad, and they're writing about his glories, his mahima, his life and teachings. Said he only slept 90 minutes a day. So why is that? Because he's absorbed in his Manjari Sarupa, his Tulsi Manjari. And after the Rasa dance, and after all so many wonderful experiences and sevas, then Radharani and Shamsundar, they drift off into happy repose, as they say. Peaceful slumber, blissful slumber and wrapped in each other's loving embrace, lying in a fragrant and soft and tender, nourishing flower bed on the banks of the Yamuna, with a gentle breeze wafting in from the gentle ways of the Yamuna, with blossoming lily flowers, filling the entire kunj with the most romantic and restful and peaceful aroma you could imagine in the three worlds. And now they're resting, and the Manjari comes out to the veranda, and she looks, and I think they're really sleeping, you know. Radharani's lying on top of Krishna's chest, being the victor, and Viparita Leela, and Viparita Ratikeli, Radharani. That's why we say Jai Shri, Jai Shri. For the Raghunuga Bhakta, the term Jaya Shri has nothing to do with Lakshmi. Although the Vishnu Bhaktas and Vaidhi Bhaktas, Jaya Shri generally implies Lakshmi Devi, Sri Lakshmi Devi. But for the Raghunugiya Bhakta, practicing Manjari Bhav Upasana, then when he says Jaya Shri, then many, many events, and meant just that name, because every Nam Rukuna Lila, every name, like you have an engine of a train, and there's so many bogies or cars, what we call train cars, bogies. They're all connected, ta 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 ta, all the way to the back, and it's pulling. So when you have the name of Radha and Krishna Yugal, or Krishna by himself, it's like the engine, and behind that engine there's so many. Each bogie is another lila, Radhisha. Each bogie is another. Each train car in India they call it bogie, is another lila. So you say Shri Jai Shri. Okay, Jai Shri Lakshmi Devi, and you know, she's opulent and majestic, and Vaikuntha Vaikuntha Rani, and so please bless me with wealth or gold. But when a Manjari Babu Pasak, when he says Jaya Shri, then he thinks, oh yeah, this in this pastime Radharani defeated Krishna. And Pashakela, it's something like Chopra, this board game, there's dice and you move a piece, this combination of dice and something like chess called Pashkela or Chopra. She defeats him there. She defeats him in Jalkeli. She defeats him in Ratikeli. So therefore, Jai Shri, Jai Shri, Jai Shri. So the Mandris, they're always cheering for Jai Shri, Jai Shri. And you know, you study all these Shastras. So this one name, because all names are like that. They have so much long meaning behind them. Nam, Rup, Guna, Leela, they're inseparable. If you have Krishna's name, you have Krishna's Leela. When a devotee asked Prabhupada in a letter, he said, I'm chanting Hare Krishna, a mantra, japa, and Radha Krishna past, or let's say he said, Krishna's pastimes are coming in my mind from the Krishna book. Is it okay? Is that all right? Can you think of Krishna's pastimes when you chant japa? Because Prabhupada, you told us we're supposed to just pray 10,000 times a second and a minute. Oh, Radharani, oh, Mother Hara, please, oh, energy of the Lord, oh, Shakti, oh, Sarva Shakti Mayi Radha, please engage me in the service of the boss, the big man, the Uprawala, Parameshwara Krishna. So that's very good, because the whole conception of that bhavana that Prabhupada gave is to cement and to affirm and cement and create and to manifest within our working consciousness and mind that I am Krishna Das. I am Krishna Dasi. Jivera Swarupaya Krishnera Nitya Das. So that's helpful, and that's very good. But then this devotee is saying, so I'm not doing that. I'm chanting the Maha Mantra and thinking of Leela. Is that bad? Prabhupada said, that's good. That's very good. You must come to the point where you're chanting your japa and the leelas are coming to you because of your attractive quality of your bhakti, bhakti sankarshan, like a chumbak. If there's any Indian people here, magnet. Magnet has the power of attraction, chumbak. It's also an interesting word. Chumbak means kiss also. So there's some attraction before that in the hearts. So the This name is like that. It brings so much with it. So he's praying. He's had this sporti. He's entered the leela. He was fanning them in such a way. And I think we'll also read the tika here, and that maybe brings out more points. These are my own points. Beautiful leela here. A Vasant leela is here also told by Srila Nantadas Babaji Maharaj. Well, there's two or three commentaries mixed together, but primarily his. He published it. Ananda Gopal Goswami, Prabhupada Ananda Gopal Goswami, and Madhusudan Das Adhikari, all three are combined in these tikas, and they're acknowledged in the first verse of the Rasudaniti. And we love Kusumanjali also. But I asked Advaita Das, who translated it, and he has the Bengali, the original Bengali, with all the tikas, so he knows. So I asked him, I said, what's the percentage of this wonderful purports and tikas that are the acharya, the mahant of Radhakund, Babaji Maharaj? He said, more than half in most cases, but especially the leelas. The leelas are coming from the Prabhupada Nanda Gopal. At any rate, it's all the mercy of Radharani and the great acharyas and the realized souls. And as everyone knows, maybe that's why we're all sitting here today. We've all been bitten. We've all been bitten by the bug of Radharani's mercy coming in the form of these books in Russian, Hindi, Bengali, originally in Bengali, and English. I've been reading these books since 1987, 88. This is a Xerox copy with a Vrindavan binding, and all yellow pages. Was given to me personally by Advaita Das. It's incomparable commentaries, no doubt. they're flowing and gushing from the fountain-like heart of the Acharya here of Radhakund. So we're indebted, we're grateful to all of our teachers and contributors to the development of our pure bhakti. So we should regularly mention and remember such great well-wishers along the path. You may have noted, if you've been listening attentively, in the last, 20 minutes, I mentioned the name Prabhupada, and I've also mentioned the name of Srila Anantadas. So you can't separate, it's like you can't separate the fruit of the tree from the earth, or from the air, or from the sunshine, or from the gardener, or from God, or from the will of God. Everything's behind this fruit are so many factors and so many contributors, the tree, the trunk, the internal system of the tree, the roots, the earth, the minerals, the sun. So that's what makes the fruit of bhakti, is the input of many, of strong roots and a good trunk and lots of support and encouragement from others. Every devotee is a loving well-wisher, a non-envious loving well-wisher of devotees. If there's any hankar or ego, then how can you wish well for others? Because we're always looking for the advantage for ourselves. Well, how can you benefit me, or how can I profit from you? Profit-loss calculation. And so it's like that. So this is line 4. So it's describing, he saw this, he rendered that service, then he came out of that antar-chit internal consciousness. He said, wow. Like we say, we wake up, like it's pretty obvious type of dreams I'm having these days. But the other day I had a dream, I was on Sankirtan. There's 16 hours a day across the street, they're chanting Hare Krishna. So needless to say, so I was leading in Kirtan, and there was about 7 or 8 devotees, and we're going around Radhakund. And I was blissful. Of course, that's a projection, or that's a want, or I like to do, but... So that I thought, that's a very nice dream. So when I came out, I thought, oh, this is nice, very nice. I'm not going to write about it, because such dreams devotees have all the time. But in his case, these sportis or deep visions or gifts of Yogamaya. And he wants to show us, he's taking us by the hand into the kingdom of Leela, saying, do as I have done. I'm showing you the way. You can serve, as I mentioned repeatedly, you can serve in cooperation and allegiance and in sangha of your Guru Sakhi, Param Guru Sakhi, or just you and Tulsi Mandri, or you and Rupa Mandri, or you and Lalita. Many combinations are there because it's based on your individual rag. The entire dynamics of the spiritual world unfolds according to your rag. How do you see it? How do you understand it? And then your seeing and your understanding of that reality of the spiritual world and the seva and siddha sarup that you render as a sadhaka and will attain in perfection will all be corrected and adjusted by the input from Shikshin Diksha Guru. It's not left to your unlimited imagination, although that's also required and necessary. Good powers of imagination and visualization are also very helpful on the path of Rag Bhakti. If you're dry and dull, then you won't go far. You won't have rag to begin with. Anyway, another point. So, this is, he's, all these books are guides. He's doing, we can do. A very simple setting. It's a very simple thing. There's a Kalindi, Yamuna. There's the bank of Kalindi. There's a beautiful Navalata Mandir. Radha and Krishna are there. And every scene, everywhere it's going to be Radha and Krishna and you. So who's fanning here? Kada kuryam samavijanam ahaha Radha Muravido. You're fanning. And he's saying kada kuryam. Who's he? He's Tungavidyasakhi, or his Mandri form. Name is not told, but many verses he's absorbed in that form. And Chandogya Upanishad says, and it's quoted in Bhakti Sandarbha, that the Jivatma, and these are not even Jivatmas, these are not Jivatattvas, these are Sarup Shakti personalities that are writing this, so they can have so many, Ananta Rupam. But the Jivas, we are Jiva Shakti, the Tatastha Jivas, per the further desire or need of the devotee to serve the Lord, or the Lord's desire to accept service from his expanded parts, Jiva Shakti. Chandogya Upanishad numbers there also, which escapes me now. It says the Jiva can expand into 1,020 forms. So don't worry about your Gaura Sarup and your and your Mandri Sarup. And if you want to just that, whatever your Guru indicates to you, you follow that line. You can have one Sarup or two or 1,020 if you want. You can be five different coward boys and 10 different Mandris. And it's like, how expansive is your rag? It's like in the old days, a man had 10 wives. Now you say, listen, I'll give you free 10 wives. You say, no thanks. No thanks. No, they're really beautiful. They're gentle. They're talented. They're intelligent. They're wonderful persons. No, I appreciate it. No, just one is, and vice versa, wife with us. So how much rag you have and how extensive it is and how many sarups it takes in, that, and of course, that your guru may give some shape to that direction of your meditation. But you also may recognize your individual rag. Because you may come in a particular line in Gaudiya Sampradaya where the standard procedure is to give one, or they don't even give actually, I haven't seen anywhere, where they give the name, they don't give the Gaura name, nor do they give the details of the Varna and Vatsan, the color, the complexion, and the because it's all one, it's all generic. So some gurus say that the sarup in Gaura Lila, some of the Gaudiya Vaishnavacharyas, I mean, of course, outside of ISKCON Gaudiya Math, they say that this present sadhaka roop, as a lady or gentleman, that is your Gaura sarup, and what bhajan you're doing in this, in the meditation, yogapit meditation, you're doing as Krishnadatsi, and so that, and then there's a generic meditation. Everyone in Gaura Lila, if they have sarup in Gaura Lila, they're a Kaishor Brahman, like a Mandri. Instead of being 12 years old as a Mandri, then in Vrindavan Leela, then you're 12 years old as a cute little, you know, effulgent little sparkly-eyed Brahmin, and Bengali Brahmin with gold. And so then they write in Gorgavinda Smarnapadati by Dhyanchandra, he says that, meditate on yourself, so is it generic meditation? It's like clones. Every single woman who comes in these lines, or every man, they're all thinking, I'm this 12-year-old boy and have a golden complexion, a beautiful white Brahmin thread draped across my chest, and I have a beautiful white chudder, and on the edge of the chudder there's a little line of golden flowers, you know, in gold, embroidered in gold, and I'm very peaceful in my bhajan, and I look very effulgent, and I'm very attentive to my service, and my gurus on my right-hand side. So that's what's told. And that, but not always has to be like that, because you may say, frankly, Gurudev, I'm not that interested in Gaura Lila. I worship as a sadhya. Don't misunderstand. Sadhya. Sadhya means goal. Especially North Indians. North Indians and people that aren't Bengalis, they don't have much rag, svabhavik rag, natural rag for Gaura Nitai. Or, you know, for us, it's like, because we, if it wasn't for Gaura Nitai, we wouldn't have any rag or anything for anything. So we're all very much Jagai Madai Sampradayak affiliates. So we're all products of the mercy, causes mercy, especially of Nitai, because he's more merciful, and Gauranga. So out of gratitude and indebtedness, we may feel, yes, I want to be part of this. And you can be part of that, and then there's different ideas of that also. You can get your Gaura Sarup, but you'll be in the Nitya Leela of Gaura, in the Prakat Vrindavan Leela, Navadvip Leela, going from universe to universe. So that's why it doesn't really matter, birth after birth, Janmani Jaman Bhagavad Bhakti Ahoitiki Tvayi. If you're with Krishna, or you're with Gauranga, you're in the material world, you're in the spiritual world, wherever they are, it's a spiritual reality. Because it's a consciousness, it's not a place. It's not a piece of terra firma, or a piece of land. Oh, this is the land of Bengal, Gaura Lila, Navadvip Mandal. No, it's consciousness. It's a plane of consciousness. So you can be anywhere and enter Gauradham. You can be in Berlin and go in meditation. Then you enter that plane of consciousness. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, there's several places that are indicated where when Maitreya Muni and Vidura, I forget the whole sequence, but there was Uddhava, Maitreya, it's in third canto of Bhagavatam, Maitreya, Uddhava, and Vidura. They were, I think it was Vidura came to meet Maitreya, and Uddhava came or something, or he was there, and it's described that Uddhava, in the Sanskrit, said, Uddhava came down from Dwarka. He was sitting in Haridwar, sitting in somewhere in north, in UP somewhere, where he met Maitreya and Vidura. He came down from the plane. He was sitting there with Maitreya, but he was like in the corner meditating. Like sometimes there's some party and somebody's really out of it. He just sits in the corner. And everybody else does their thing. So he was meditating on the Leela, and he was in Dwarka rendering service in and the plane. So he came down from that plane. There's several verses like this. That just for another example, Vidyadhara liberated in the Krishna book. It was Shiv Chaturdasi and Nanda Baba and all the senior men, maybe ladies, their wives also, I can't say. They went to one forest in western Braj Mandal, in the Kamvan side, and it's called Ambikavan. And Ambika is a form of Durga. So it was right around Shiv Chaturdasi. Shiv Chaturdasi. So they went there to worship Ambika. And Krishna was in Nandagram with his nanny or grandmother, whoever. He was staying there, and they were 50 kilometers away. And Nanda Baba, when he was sleeping, one big python or something, snake, was swallowing him, who was a demigod, that got cursed to be. He was a Vidyadhara. Vidyadhara means like a Charna, Kinnara, Vidyadharas. These are all these subtle celestial sattvic beings. They're subtle tamasic beings, bhutas, pretas, pishachas, bhuts, prates, and vetalas. And there's a whole group of them mentioned. And they're tamasic, and they caused a lot of problem for passionate human beings on this plane. But these subtle beings, they're on the higher realm, the Kinnaras, Chanaras, and Gandharvas, and a whole long list of them, Kimpurushas. And they're well-wishers of the devotees. And they help the devotees. They're sattvic, subtle beings, invisible. So he was one of those Vidyadharas, and then he became, cursed somehow because he was proud of his beauty, because they're very beautiful. Celestial men and women, like we say, celestial damsels. So he became a snake, and he's swallowing Nanda Baba. So Nanda Baba said, Krishna, Krishna, Mahabaho, Krishna, Krishna, Mahabaho, oh, Mahabaho, oh, big arms, strong arms, oh Krishna, bachao, bachao, save me, save me. And Krishna, boing, like Star Trek movie or something, Just some smoke comes and, yes, you have called, what do you want? He materialized out of nowhere. So the original Star Trek hero, Derek, I can't remember. Krishna, he just appeared, boom, from that, because he was in the Nandagram and he just appeared there in that place. Because he just stepped out from behind the curtains, like you have a drama. Okay, get ready. Okay, now go on the stage. They come out, da. So he's right there behind the screen. Just like he's right here, and it's for us, we're not in prema, so it's apricot Vrindavan. We can't see it, but it's all happening. Every day we put our head in the dust of Manasapavangat, and we pray Radharani, you walked here this afternoon, now it's evening time, and I'm paying my pranams. Is some kunkum will come on my forehead, some of your chandan, some of your kunkum, or maybe some dust from your feet. Why can't I see? You're moving here. Because even if it's a night, if I have the eyes, the night will become day, it will become midday, and I'll see Radharani and the gopis right there at 6 o'clock in the evening, 7. This is the power of Prem Drishti. Prem Drishti opens up the eternal reality. And it's not bound by place or time. If this Prem is here, then you go anywhere, and the Prem will open up the whole thing. And just like a curtain, like everyone's all set up and everyone's dressed up as gopis and Krishna, and there's some introduction, and no one knows what's going to, what they're going to see behind the curtains. All of a sudden they go, wow, oh, that's my friend. Oh, look, that looks like so-and-so. I don't know. Who is it? Looks. And everyone's trying to figure out who's who. And it's all very real. So that's just like this. There's our chitta, there's our chit, and then there's the supra-chit, the spiritual consciousness. It's just a veneer, or just a thin veil between the two. But that veil takes lifetimes to remove by bhakti bhajana vyas, daily practice of sadhana bhakti. Then finally prem comes. It says it's an anjana, prem anjana, lochan. You know, they have these eye drops, you know, you put on dusty, burning, hot summer days of India, you put some rose water or something. Wow. Or in Jagannath Puri, the Jagannath Swami, they in the summertime, they put kaffir on his eyelids, you know, whatever, they call eyelids. They put kapoor, you know, kaffir, they put up there, and then when you go there and take darshan, they sometimes take it and they give it, if you give a big donation. my Indian friends, I don't go. But they go like this and say, and then they say, close your eyes, and they put like this and like that. Then, oh, it's very nice. It's actually very nice. There's two types of kapoor. There's one edible one for kheer and sweet, and one artik, chemical wala, or use the same one for all of your devotional, edible one. Very cooling. So this is this fourth line here, this is describing the sporti, and his prayer in Siddha is Sadaka Vesh. When will I attain such cherished service? So we're to read these books and we see this. Oh, this, what a beautiful Leela. That Hare Krishna. Bank of the Yamuna. Yeah, I've seen the Yamuna. I know the Yamuna bank. I've seen some trees there in Gunja. And there's a terrace and Radha Krishna. And I'm outside and then I'm pulling on the ceiling fan and I see that they're coming out. And then, now what service? Now I pick up some chamara. So, this is, we read and then we're supposed to reflect on this. And how, what kind of, then the third line, which we already discussed, describes how, what kind of fanning he's doing, which we describe. So now he's saying, now you meditate on that, you see that in your mind's eye, as much as Guru Kripa allows you to see. And then, and you're, oh, this is so nice. When can I do this? When? Because the whole point I want to discuss today is about lalasa and bhajan. So far it's been a slight introduction of 38 minutes. It takes a long time to taxi on the runway sometimes. Take off, you know, you go this way, that way, and you're wondering when you'll fly. So let's fly. So this idea is lalasa, which means hankering, city lalasa. And sometimes I've heard people say, there are different bhajans by Narottam Das Thakur Mahashay and Bhaktivinoda Thakur and Gita Mala. He has 7 or 8 bhajans called city lalasa. Poems, Bengali poems, we call bhajans. I've heard some people say or even teach that, no, these songs, these bhajans, are only for when you're a siddha, when you're actually perfect, then you can chant these and hanker for these services. That's not the point, because the whole word lalasa means I'm hankering to attain siddhi. Now I'm a sadhak. I'm in sadhaka vesh. I want to attain siddha vesh. I want to attain siddha sarup. Maybe I've given it, or I want to realize it by nam or bhajan or whatever, but I have to realize it, see it, feel it, be it, serve in it, forever. That's siddhi, that's perfection, samadhi, mukti, liberation, praying samadhi. So it's quite wrong, quite wrong. And so this concept of lalasa, it's goes together with rag. If there's attachment and attraction and taste for serving Radha and Krishna, then you're anxious. You're anxious, you're yearning, you're hankering. When? Everywhere this word is there. Kada, 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 kabe, kabe, kabe. When? And so it goes way back to the beginning. Remember the beginning? Oh, when will I get out of this hell? When will I get out of this hell called material life? When will I get away from these hellish people called my friends? And then somehow Krishna answers your prayers. And says, when? Right now. Here, meet a devotee. Oh, you're dancing to the tune of a different drum. You're speaking something different. You're not selfish. You're not going to exploit me. You're not going to rip me off, as they say. No, I want to give. I came to you to give. To give you something wonderful that someone gave me. Krishna. Take it. Take him. So then their life changes. So then they get a whole new sangha of happening people, good people, devotees, and all the other ones disappear. So when, then, okay, now you're so much situated in transcendence, surrounded by well-wishing spiritual personalities, and the hopes for the future are bright, and you feel hopeful, renewed hope about your life, and some renewed enthusiasm to carry on in the struggle for material existence. Then you're thinking, oh, but I need a guide, I need a guru, I need a teacher. So then you start saying, when? When will I get guru? When? Where? How? So then when? So now you're here. Who's on a higher level of bhajan than Raghunath Das Goswami or Prabhupada Saraswati? And they're saying when? I said when 40 years ago. When will I get out of hell? Now I'm saying when will I get to heaven? Well, at that time I just wanted to get out of hell. I mean, to put it in a short way, you can to expand what you individually consider to be your own individual hells that you lived through, passed through, or are in. So this when is a big thing. So for Smaran, I'm repeating again these who, what, when, where, and why. Oh no, we're down here. So this Lalasa Bhajan, this is a very important part of sadhana. We're hankering, we're always increasing, we should always increase our hankering and yearning. If it's not happening, if you're hankering to be with Radha and Krishna, to see Radha and Krishna, because sometimes we hear, oh, you shouldn't want to see Radha and Krishna, you should not want to see Krishna. I've heard so many things as I pass my life, half my life. I've heard many, many things, and many things are wrong, and many things are not correct. And many things, I don't even know who said, but oftentimes people tell me something very important, say, so-and-so said this, and so-and-so never said that. Never ever said that. Even a big acharya guru, ancient guru, whatever. And what to speak of, they never told me. If my rag is such that I'm going crazy, I can't sleep at night, I can't eat, and I give up all eating until I can see Krishna, like Madhavendra Puri on the banks of Govinda Kund. He said, I want to see you, Govinda. This is Govinda Kund. This is Giriraj. You're Govardhan. You're always increasing the mercy and kindness for the devotees. I'm looking you on my left eye, I'm right eye, I'm looking at Govinda Kund, and I'm facing north towards Radhakund Varsana Nandagam. My name is Madhavendra Puri. I'm sitting on my baitak on the south side of Govinda Kund. Right? So if you're sitting south, you're looking north. Why north? Because Radha Kund, Shama Kund, Varsana Nandagram, Yavat, them, the goal, the sadhya, the prayojan. Oh, Giriraj, please help me. You're so merciful, you're so kind. You're Baba, you're Giriraj Baba, you're my grandfather. And Prabhupada said, grandfather is more kind than the father. No, it's Madhavendra Puri. So then he's looking, oh, Govinda Kund, oh, Govinda. You know, you delight all the senses, Vinda, and go means senses, Indriya, the Gyanendriya, Karmendriya, and you're Vinda, Vindate, one who gives pleasure and satisfaction. I'm unhappy. I'm not satisfied. My senses are dry. My ears are, I'm deaf, I'm blind, I can't smell, Why? Because I'm devoid of your darshan. I cannot see you. I cannot smell your divine fragrance. Hear your ankle bells, your flute, or your sweet voice, or your waist bells, kinkini, nupura. What good are these ears? It's like the ear holes of a snake. And these eyes are like the eyes of a vulture looking for a dead body. And this nose is like the nose of a pig looking for smelling stool in the field. I'm not going to eat. I'm not going to drink. I'm going to sit here and do bhajan until I see Govinda. This is Madhavendra Puri. You know, you all know the story. Lord Chaitanya was so captivated by this story. So much captivated by the whole personality of Madhavendra Puri. He's a big feature in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Because he had an extremely huge impact on the life of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And such a big impact that Mahaprabhu wanted to share it with all his followers. So that's why when he went to Raimuna on his Yatra to Puri, he stopped in Raimuna at Kirchor Gopinath Mandir. And then he said, listen, do you know the glories of Kirchor Gopinath and their great devotee Madhavendra Puri? And some, they said, we've heard something, but we'd like to hear from you. Then he narrated so beautifully, chapter 15 of Madhya Leela, I think so. I think it's called Pure Devotional Service or something. You know, Chaitanya Charitamrita. All about Madhavendra Puri. How so? Because he met him in South India. He came here, Mahaprabhu came here to Govindakund. In the end of Kartik, he arrived on Kartik Purnima. 15 days from now is the day that Lord Chaitanya came on Purnima. And he stayed those 15 days, and he stayed 30 days of Mrigashirsh, next month. He stayed that 1 month, and then that 15 days, something like 1.5, almost 2 months. And then after Mrigashirsha and Posh month, he went to Allahabad for Kumbh Mela. So Kumbh Mela is in end of Posh and Magh Mas. It's called Magh Mela, Kumbh Mela. So Lord Chaitanya went there, and when he went to Govindakund and he saw the Baitak of Madhavendra Puri, he fell apart, he fell to pieces. So this is an example. Madhavendra Puri had intense lalasa and hankering. I must see you, do or die. I must see my Rai. Rai means Radha. That's intensity. Intensity of purpose, sankalp, affirmation, resolution. Like a flame of a candle in a windless place. It doesn't move. You know, there's no wind. You put a candle in the room, middle. Steady, bright, unwavering, not moving. Just endlessly burning towards eternity. This is the sankalpa, determination. It's very, very good to want to see Krishna. If you're trying to love someone, oh, I really want to love this lady. Do you want to see her? No, I don't want to see her. Why should I want to see her? I'm just working and acting in such a way that she'll knock on my door one day and say, here I am. Well, then don't have temples or deities. It's like just like in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Rupa Goswami Pada, he writes a verse. And this verse is not about generic Govinda, by the way. Some people misunderstand this verse. Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, famous verse. When I tell you, you'll know very well. But this verse was specifically written as an offering to the Thakurji of Rupa Goswami, his Ishtadev. Rupa Goswami Pad, he wrote Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, and he wrote a prayer to his Thakurji. Like you may write prayers to your Giriraj, in your own way, little poems or whatever. That's people do. So he wrote this prayer and he said, he's looking at Govindaji in Jayapur, Adi Govinda. He said, oh, Govindaji, such a beautiful face, such mischievous eyes, dancing this way, that way. And your smile, you look so modest and you look so innocent, but I know you're so naughty and you're so enchanting. And you've danced into my heart, and you've danced into my mind, and I just can't stop dancing and walking behind you. I'm afraid that you have bewitched me. You have totally captivated my existence. I can never leave you. My eyes are glued on you. I can't take my eyes off. So then he writes this prayer. Listen, everyone. I want to warn you. Danger. There's sharks in this water. If you go surfing here, you'll get eaten. Surf at your own risk. I remember going surfing some places. They have a sign there on the beach. It said, there's shark-infested waters. Swim at your own risk. So a couple of guys or teenagers look at each other. You want to go for it? Yeah, let's go. Waves are good. So this is a gamble. So you go in, and then when everyone's like looking for waves and looking for this little thing, there's a little thing that goes above the water like this. And when you see one, you kneel on your surfboard. You don't put your legs on the outside. You kneel and go, catch that wave. Whoop! You go so fast into the shore. Otherwise, you might get your backside chopped off, you know. So it's perilous. It's dangerous. It's life-threatening. So that's what happens if you see the face of Govinda. Listen. Hey, hello. If you want to maintain your attachment to society, now it's becoming familiar. If you want to maintain your attachment to society, friendship, and love, then don't go to the banks of Keshigad, because just near there, there's Govindaji Mandir and there's Mai Thakur. And if you see that Govinda, then your material life is subnashed, hogya, finished, destroyed. You'll just say, goodbye, husband, goodbye, wife, goodbye, job, goodbye, school, goodbye, everything. Hello, Govinda. That is what will happen. So this is, I think everyone knows this idea, that verse. I'm a little slow, so I don't know the Sanskrit, but it's all about his deity of Govinda. So what he's doing there is saying, it's parokshavad, it's indirect. He's saying, don't do this, which means do this. And then, so you should be anxious. Oh, if you see Govinda, all these things will happen. I mean, I'll lose my wife and my family and everything. Sounds great. Let me run to Vrindavan and see Govinda. Hey, Govinda, or Jayapur, now he's in Jayapur. Go to Jayapur. Hey, Jayapur, I read that if I see you, that I'll forget everything. So please bless me. I really want to forget my wife and my husband and my everything. Please bless me. And you better watch out. I'm telling you. I'm warning you. Don't do it. Just don't do it. Because you're playing with fire. You know, you play with fire, you get burned. So if you play with Govinda, Rupa Goswami's words are shastra, they're satyam, they're powerful, they're true. They're effective, immediately effective, like cyanide. I remember once, who was it? Maybe it was Radha Swami or someone. I think it was Radha Swami. He came, because he was on a yatra about, I don't know, 10 or 15 years ago, some time ago. I believe it was Pujapad Srila Radha Swami. He went to Radha Raman Mandir to see Radha Manji and Thakurji Radha Raman. And he's praying to them. He said, oh, Radha Raman, please give me your mercy. I want to attain perfection, prema, or whatever. I don't know whatever his prayer was, but he was praying. The idea, the essence was, please give me your mercy. Please give me your mercy. Please give me your mercy. So then he left that Mandir. And he was walking back towards Loy Bazaar with some devotees. And it was nighttime. And nowadays there's so many lights everywhere. But there are no lights. Like old days, Vrindavan, the lights go out and it's like, where am I? And then he stepped in a, what we call open sewer, a nali, a drain. There's a wall of Sevakunj, and there's a road, and there's a drain. He stepped in there and broke his leg. And he was in a cast. This was 19... I don't know, I think that was when they were out of ISKCON for about 8 years, Kirtananda. Anyway, whenever. It was way back then. And he broke his leg and was in a cast. And he used to tell this story. He said, be careful when you pray to Radha Raman. He's very powerful. I prayed for mercy. So then while his leg was broken, he did so much reading and chanting and whatnot, you know, studying harmonium or whatever, you know, he had a music teacher in Bombay. So this is a clear example of a very famous personality everyone knows very well. So he wanted to see Radha Raman, and he wanted to pray to them for some perfection and some blessings, and he got it. So we should very much, this is Lalasa, hankering and yearning to live in Vrindavan, to see Radha and Krishna, to see Radha and Krishna's leelas, to attain a particular service or render a service while hearing and chanting during our daily sadhana. We should pray for a vision. Because if you never pray for anything, Krishna wants to give everything. He wants to give, but if we're like, oh, because sometimes people say, oh, I've heard, I don't know where it's written, it's not written in our Upanishads or anywhere else. They say, well, when I'm ready, the guru will come to me. When I'm ready, you must have heard this very hippie type phrase, you know, I heard it 40 years ago. No, just do your thing or whatever you're doing. When you're ready, automatically the guru will come. But that's not what it says. It says you should have, it says samet pani shoti and brahma. It says that says jignasu shayutamam. It says that you should, I forget the Sanskrit word, but in the verse it's there about describing the definition and characteristics of the guru, shabde pare nishtam. Brahmanishtam, Shabde Pare Brahmanishtam. He's Brahmanishtam means he's fixed in Krishna consciousness. And Shabde Pare, he's heard and studied the Shastras at the feet of his guru or independently or usually in it. Both. You need both. You need guru and teacher to understand the Shastra. And then you go to him, Smitpani, it says, I forget the word, but it says you have to go to the guru. You have to go to the guru with an offering in your hand. Smit means a type of firewood, Arani. Wood that's used for yajna. Pani means hands. Pani, just like in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Sarvato Pani Padam Tat, Sarvato Kshisharomakam, Sarvato Shrutimala, okay? Avrita, Lokanam Avrita Tishtati, or something. Krishna, in the translation, Krishna is saying, everywhere am I, Sarvato Pani Padam Tat, everywhere are my hands and feet. This is about Virata Rup, or Krishna's Paramatma. He's everywhere. He's the Shakshi, he's a witness. So he says, Sarvato Pani Padantat, everywhere my hands, Pani, Sarvatapani, Sarvapadam, my feet. Sarvato Shisharomakam, everywhere are my eyes, my Akshi, and my Mukam, my mouth. So I'm seeing everything and I'm hearing everything. Sarvato, and I Shutimal, Sarvam, and I'm hearing everything. And this way I'm situated in this world. So this is Bhagavad Gita. So Krishna is like that. And so we should feel that in this life, as this Prarthana, which I want to read from in the last 5 minutes, he's giving shape to this kind of thinking and consciousness with his so many lalasa prayers. He's saying, I will serve Radha and Krishna during this life. And after death, and after death, and I will see their pastime places day and night. Radhe Krishna Sevan Muni Jivane Marane Lila Stana Deki Ratridine. Then he says, he talks the next song. I just thought I'd read it. It's very beautiful. Because it's giving more elaboration for our meditation and pointing us in the direction of Siddhi Lalasa. And this is here. It says, Radha Krishna Sevan Muni Jivane Marani. In life or death, I will serve Radha and Krishna. Tanarastana Tanar Lila Dekon Rachidine. Day and night, I will go to their pastime places. I'm not seeing their pastimes. I may read about them when I go there from some book. I'll go into Lila Marita or whatever. But then when I go there, I'll pray that I will see them. He says, Jay Stane Jay Lila Kari Jugula Kishore Sakir Sang. Sangini haha tahane hanabur. He's saying, when will I see these pastimes? I will go to these lilastans, and Yugo Kishore will be there, and I'll go Saki Sangini in the association of the Sakis. So I'll read the translation. So all of what he's telling here is it's titled here Shirupa Rati. It's a prayer to Rupa Mandri and Rati Mandri or Tulsi Mandri, Rupa and Raghunath. It's his It's called sankalpa. In Hindi, they drop off the A. We say sankalpa, but it's sankalpa. So he says, I will serve Radha and Krishna during this life and after death, and I will see their pastime places. Dekon Sevan. He says, Dekon Sevan. I'll see and I'll serve. I will see as a dear companion of the Sakis, Sakhi Sangini, I will see the various pastimes performed by Yugala Kishore. Lila. Lila Kare, Yugala Kishore. And in Vrindavan. And I will become absorbed in them. He's saying this is his hankering. I will constantly serve the lotus feet of Rupa Manjari, which are my mantra and my greatest medicine. O Rati Manjari, O Devi, please be merciful to me and always give me the shelter of your lotus feet. O Sri Rasa Manjari Devi, please glance upon me so that my mind will meditate on your lotus feet. I, Narottam Das, eternally pray to Lila Yugal, Radha Madhav, and their pleasure pastimes in Vrindavan. So he's praying to the Radha and Krishna, he's praying to the Lila Stali, he's praying to his guru, he's praying to the pastimes themselves. Like we read Jal Keli, Madhyan Lila, Radhakund, 2 o'clock in the afternoon. We read from Govinda Lilamrita, or Krishna Bhavanamrita. So that we can actually pray to the pastime itself. Oh, this pastime is beautiful. Oh, Lila, oh, Jalkalila, please manifest in my heart. I want to see you. There's a certain, what lalasa means. What is the meaning of lalasa? It means an internal driving force, an internal driving hankering. I want this. Because we have two choices in this life. We can want Maya, or we can want Krishna. And wanting Krishna means everything we're talking about, and more. And wanting Maya means we have our whole software full of Maya to give us so many things to want. I want this, and I want that. And everyone has their whole long list of wants, which are irrelevant and unnecessary in terms of pure bhakti. And what to speak of this? This is another prayer of lalasa, which is very popular. Radha Krishna Pranamor Jugala Kishore. Everyone sings that. And when you sing it, doesn't your heart stretch when you sing it? Radha Krishna Prana. And so many different people sing it so beautifully. And it pulls the strings of your heart. It creates hankering. And you sing it once every 6 years. But this, what mood when you sing this song? Radha Krishna Prana More Jugala Kishore. In Russia, in America, everywhere, everyone's singing. Standard. This one song is the whole foundation of Rag Bhakti. It includes Rag, it includes hankering, includes Lala Samayi, which is a theme of what we're talking about, Lala Samajan. Jivane Marani Gati Ara Nahi Mar. In life or death, nothing else for me but you. You're my pran. Kalindira Kule Kili Kadamiravan Ratana Vedira. Vedi, Ratna Vedi, Upara Bosava Duvajan. And I'm my meditation, I'm seeing you and I'm hankering. When will I take you sit you on a beautiful jeweled platform, Vedi, Asan, on the banks of the Yamuna? Again, as we're hearing here. Alinde Kalindi Tata. There's Kalindira Kule. Kule means the banks also. Keli Kadamba Van. There's so many Kadamba trees everywhere. So fragrant, it's so beautiful. And then Sham Gauri Anga Devo Chandanera Ganda. Oh Sham, oh Gauri, such beautiful names for Radha and Krishna. That darkish, beautiful, handsome one. That golden, sparkling, attractive one. And then I'll anoint their bodies with a very fragrant sandalwood paste mixed with an herb called Chuya. Then I'll fan them with a chamara. And as I'm fanning them, I'll see their beautiful moon-like faces. And relish such ecstasy. And it goes on. I will anoint their limbs of Sham and Gauri with sandalwood paste, scented with perfume, and fan them with a chamara whisk. Oh, when will I behold their moon-like faces? After stringing a malati mala, I will drape it around their necks, and then I will offer Kaffir scented tambul to their lips. It says here, I will offer tambul scented with kaffir to their lotus mouths. But the actual Sanskrit says, I will offer kaffir scented tambul to their lips. It's, everything is important. Lips is the mouth. Oh yeah, here it is. I'll put it in their lips. So this is, everything is very, the whole idea of Madhura Ras is very intimate. Because the Mandaris, this is all, because all these things we're describing, putting something directly into someone's mouth. There's one verse from Radharas Sudaniti that says that, oh Radharani, when you're pleased with my seva, will you put your tambul into my mouth? And I asked it Wait to Das about that. I said, does that mean you put your hand out and she just spits it in your hand and you put it in your mouth? Or does that mean that she kisses you and puts it in your mouth? And he said, and the Vaita told me, he said, you have to see that and find out in your meditation. So obviously, that, of course, that could have different, you know, modern misinterpretations and misunderstandings in the perverted world we live in, of two ladies and kissing and whatnot, and everyone knows that. So that's all offensive and low-class type of thinking. So that those things are in the Sanskrit. Because I asked him, I said, what is the actual Sanskrit? He said, it's not saying. He's leaving it up, the authors, because there's different ways to say. He says, put into the mouth. It says put into the mouth. That's how he translates. He's the translator, and I asked him directly. And I was very much captivated by that whole scene. I thought, wow, this is really, you know, really amazing. So this is... So the minuteness of it, it says, Gantia malatir mala diva donharak. It says, adare, adare tulia diva karpura tambule. So this is, tambu is put adar. Adar means the lips. And Jagannath's name in Puri is called Raktadhara. Raktadhara. Raktadhara means red lips. And it's pretty clear to see that Jagannath has big, red, smiling lips. So right into the lips. And then it says, I'm with all these sakis. On the order of the sakis, beginning with Lalita Mishaka, because they're the Mukhya sakis, I will serve their lotus feet. I pray and hanker for the sevas of Radha Govinda Yugal, but only in Anugatya to the Saki Brenda and the Saki Guru Varg, Anugatya. Always in allegiance to Dasi, Anodasi, Anodasi. That's what I would, my footnote on the end here. I will serve on the order, it says Agya. We have Guru Agya, the order of the Guru. So it says, Lalita, Vishaka, Adi, Jata Sakhi Brinda. All the Sakhis, Sakhi Brinda, the whole group of Sakhis, Adi, beginning with Lalita Vishaka because they're chief. Then Agya Kariba, Seva Chanaravinda. Agya, I'll receive their order. My Guru Sakhi will give me an order, or Rupa Rati, or Narottama's. His Sakhi, his Guru Sakhi is Manjulali. Manjulali is Lokanath Goswami. And Narottama is, I believe, Champak Mandri. So on Guru Agya. So I explain, this is, the whole thing is allegiance, Anugatya. So this is the whole bhajan. This bhajan, which we're all familiar with, is creating in us the concept of Abhiman and Abhilash. Abhiman and Abhilash. Abhiman means the mentality, the identity. Where do I fix my identity? Where do I identify myself? I have this body. I have this situation. But what is my nitya, my eternal Abhiman, my eternal mentality and identity? And Abhilash, what is the direction? We have our self-identity, Abhiman, and direction, our cherished aspiration of sadhana. And this is it. Serving Radha and Krishna Yugal in a very confidential, intimate way. So this is a bhajan which nourishes the whole idea of lalasa, or hankering, or eagerness in bhajan. So when we read such prayers, I'll just finish on this, when we read such prayers of siddhi lalasa, hankering for perfection, what's the effect? What happens to us? Our heart softens. This, everyone, when any devotee sings his bhajan, what happens? He feels what? Or she feels what? Very, very good. Yes? And it's a nice tune. Radha Krishna. You know, oh yeah, Radha Krishna. Life or death, you know. But it should be sung every day. And because by singing it, that's what I'm explaining. When you sing it or read it or read the translation or whatever, then you'll see that these bhajans, they will soften the heart and they'll change the shape of our mentality, which I mentioned, abhiman. And our minds will become centered, purified, and free from all external mundane hankering and desiring. Because it's kind of like they accused us in the beginning, or even now maybe, oh, you Hare Krishnas are brainwashed. Yes, we want to brainwash ourselves. We want to wash all the non-Radha and Krishna out of our brains and fill our brains with hankering and lalasa for seva, intimate sevas of Radha and Krishna. So by filling our minds with these prayers for seva, full of lalasa and hankering, deep heartfelt yearning, like Prabhupada Saraswati in this prayer, and Raghunath Das Goswami, Vilapkusamanjali, and Prarthana, this is the seventh substance of lalasa bhajan and manjari bhav. So we're a little bit over time. Tomorrow we'll read Leela. We'll start by reading Leela, which is in the Tika. It's nice to hear Basant Leela in relation to this verse of fanning the divine couple. And we'll begin verse 175. Prabhupada Saraswati Thakur ki jai, 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 Shri Radhe, jai, jai, Shri Radhe, jai, jai, Shri Radhe, Sham. Can you do me a favor? Here's some little prasad, Viraj prasad. These are little, but there's one, just give that whole one. Okay.
Flower mala for Hiraj.
Hiraj? Okay, thanks.
Lunch or cocoa?
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Gopal, 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 Gopal.